Here's our key verse for October 19th. We're talking out of my relationship with my soul, mind, will, and emotions book. And today's lesson is entitled, How to Decide. And as I read through this scripture and we think about it, what I want you to try to understand is God's heart for you. You know, there's several things in here we'll talk about, but the primary thing is, what's God's heart? What does God desire? It's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Today, I have given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. So what is God's heart in all of that for you and I? What do you see His heart as? Choose life? Yeah, He wants us to choose life. But there are two choices that you can make, aren't there? What are your two choices in there? You could choose life or death. Yeah, you could choose blessings or curses. And you can really choose either one. You're free to do either one. Now, for reasons that I don't understand, oftentimes I, and probably you too, don't choose life and blessing. We don't do that. We get deceived, we get distracted. There's a number of reasons, but we don't make the choices that lead to life. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Julie's Wednesday night Bible study is loving God with all your mind. And your mind is a really important component to your soul. And oftentimes I think that's where the battleground is. I think Joyce Myers has a book, Battleground of Your Mind, which is a really good book too, helping us understand that a lot of how we think is the battle. And our emotional part, our feelings, they can be indicators to tell us which way we're focused in there. But the real key to your soul is your will. The will is the key. What you choose to believe, what you choose to focus on with your will make a decisive difference in your experience of life. The will is the key. Now, you have a free will. God designed you that way. He won't make you choose one way or another. He won't let the devil make you choose one way or another. You are always completely free to choose life and blessings, or completely free to choose death and curses. And that's available to you and I on a regular basis. Well, let's draw a diagram. And for today's diagram, it would be a good idea to take your bulletin and turn it in a landscape-type format like my chalkboard or whiteboard is up here. And we're going to draw a diagram together this morning. And what we're going to do is, first of all, list the seven areas of life on the left-hand side. So the first area of life we want to talk about is a spiritual life. We have a spiritual area of life, which is our relationship with the spiritual realm. Now, in an ideal sense, that's our relationship to God. But as you and I were reading in the New Testament this morning, as we read through the Bible together, there were several different illustrations in the gospel of Jesus dealing with demons. How many of you noticed that this morning when you were reading there? The reality of dealing with demonic forces in our present day is real. There are demons around who desire death and destruction to be they want us to experience the curses. So our relationship with the spiritual realm is a very important part. Then we also have a relationship with the psychological realm, which is the book we're going to finish next week on a psychological. I'll copy this off here so I spell it correctly. Our psychological life has to do with our mind, our will, and our emotions, that part of us that the Bible calls the soul. And what we're trying to understand as we go through here is who it is that we should know and where it is that we should focus and how it is we should decide and then what it is we should believe so that in our psychological relationship, our relationship with our soul, we could choose life. Now we also have social relationships. So write social for your next one. Now our social relationships are all those relationships with humans we have. Family members, friends, people we work with. But there is that realm. And we also have a physical area. Each one of us has a physical body. And this is our relationship with our physical body. So there's things that go on in our body every day that impact the decisions that we would make. And all of us have a financial relationship. So write financial for the next one. Now, all of us have relationships in these areas. These five areas, all of us have a little bit of money. We all have a body. We all have people who are around. We all have a soul. And we all relate with the Spirit. So all five of those, every one of us here has. Now, some of us in this audience are not married. So they can't relate to the marital area yet. But be guaranteed that when you do get married, there will be choices that you have to make. Not just who to marry, but in the marriage that goes on. And then most of us end up being parents. So write parental as your last one. So these are the seven areas of life that the Bible talks about. And in all of these areas of life, they all come to a point in time where we'll need to make a decision. And in the process of getting there, we could simply define that we will have needs. So write needs in that little part of your triangle there. There are things that I need to do spiritually. There are needs that I have psychologically. As someone said earlier, you know, some of my psychological things, there's more needs in my life for psychological stability than others. Even though I study for the psych evaluations, I don't always pass them, right? And there are needs that we have physically. You know, some of the things that I do are not things that I need. I like having coffee in the back of the church. I really don't need to drink that, but I like to. So, and there are financial needs. There are times in our lives, and many of us experiencing, you know, challenges in this financial area right now, where there are really things that we need. And the needs oftentimes lead us to what we would call problems. Now, some people would say that I have a physical problem because I have these cancerous tumors growing in my body. And they're right. It is a real problem that I have to make decisions on. Now, there's also areas of my marriage where there are challenges, problems. You know, sometimes I do and say things that I don't really think about that cause problems in my relationship with Jules. You know, if for some reason or another, the last two Sundays right before church, I do something dumb. You know? And so when I come to church, it doesn't feel just quite balanced. You know, it's kind of, something's off. But problems. And those things happen. And the last thing I want you to write in there is the word questions. You get questions. So, what are some of the questions you have? What are some of the needs you have? What are some of the problems in your life that you have? They may not be exactly the same as mine, but in these areas of life, there are probably needs, problems, and questions. Some marriages are more challenged than what Julie and I experienced the last two Sundays. Some people's financial portfolio, although, you know, this war against cancer is like the war against terror. I'm spending money that I really don't have in the war, the same way our country is spending money we really don't. We're borrowing money to fight the war. I'm doing the same thing. Somehow or another, I think the federal government may get out of debt before I do, but I hope that I get out before they do. But see, these are all real things that we have to deal with in our life. And they all lead us, make a circle right at the end of that triangle, and right in there write the word decisions. Because that's the key that we want to focus on this morning, is the decisions we make. These are choices of our will. And we make decisions basically in two primary ways. One of them is leading to life. Write life up here. And one of them is going to lead to death. Now, we get that straight from the Scriptures. Our key verse is, you can choose life or death. You can choose blessing or cursing. I call heaven and earth to witness against you that you choose. And, oh, that you would choose to live this way. That's really the way God would like us to live. And that's a life that is based on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. That in every decision that we make, we would interact with the Spirit of God. Now, are there decisions in life that God's really not concerned about? No. God is down to the nth detail. Have you ever looked at stuff through a microscope? How small God makes stuff? How many living critters are really, really small? And the scientists say, no matter how small you go, no matter how great their technology is, there is life in the smallest of entities that we've ever discovered. God is into the small decisions in life. Now, oftentimes people think it's funny that when I'm in the shower on Sunday morning, I ask the good Lord, what is it you would like to wear when I get dried off? And this is what he liked today. More often than what I should, I go to a restaurant and I don't talk to him about what he would like to eat. But it would be a good thing to do that more regularly, wouldn't it? When it comes to what I'm going to eat, talking to the Lord, well, what would you like to have today, sir? You know, I've went to different places and asked him that, and some of the things that he comes up with are real food adventures. But the smallest of decisions and the largest of decisions, God wants to be involved in. He wants all of that. Now, the other thing that we could do is make decisions that lead to death, and they are based on the flesh. So we can make decisions on the flesh. Romans 8:6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So as we make decisions, we can either set our mind on the Holy Spirit, or we can set our mind on the flesh and make decisions on either of those two. So what are some of the fleshly motives that would drive us in our needs, problems, and questions to make decisions? One of them is selfishness. So right underneath of your decisions there, write the word selfish. Now, how many of you have noticed other people that are selfish? Anybody? Yeah. I have a grandson that's not even a full 3 months old yet, right? And yesterday, he and I were sitting on the front porch and we were telling each other stories. And at a certain point in time in the stories, he decides he's done with the stories and he's moving on to a snack, right? Because he didn't have to burp and because he didn't have a poopy diaper, he was hungry. But he was very intent on communicating. And I mean, we were just sitting there smiling, giggling, laughing, carrying on. And all of a sudden, he decided he's hungry. And like a lot of men, I'm hungry now. I do not want to wait. I want to eat now. Right? Yep. You know men like this? And it comes with the character of who we are. We are by nature a sinful and fallen race. When we become born again, dealing with that old pattern of being selfish is an ongoing decision that we need to make. But a lot of us will make decisions based on selfishness. Can any of you think of one in your life that you did this week? Yeah, I did one of those just this morning, and I thought, that was stupid. But the deal was, I didn't take the time to talk to the Lord about it. I just did something, right? I call them no-brainers. I selfishly do something without thinking. Now, there's another thing, pride. Right? Pride underneath there. So selfishness is the thing. I want what I want, and I want it now. And our culture that they call us consumers, there's this great deal of wanting stuff for yourself. Selfishness, isn't there? But then there's also this problem of pride. Pride comes before a fall. But pride is a very big deal in our lives that I think I'm independent. I think it's my body. I think it's my life. I can do with it whatever I want. Right? When we gather tithes and offerings, I keep reminding you all the time that all the money in the world is God's. All the world is God's. It's not my money. It's not yours. It's not my country. It's not my planet. It's God's. But there's a pride problem that we experience in our culture, and oftentimes I think I'm superior than others. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you realize that they thought they were right and they thought you were wrong? That's the problem of pride. It is a conscious part of life that we must make our decisions not based on pride or not based on selfishness, because those things will lead to a death experience. Now here's another one, vanity. V-A-N-I-T-Y. Vanity. Now, my grandma Meyer used to have this piece of furniture that we called the vanity. And it was a narrow little critter, had very shallow drawers in it, and on it was this big oval mirror with pretty cut glass around the edge of it. It was one of the nicest pieces of furniture that my grandma Meyer had. And I always thought, well, why do they call that thing why don't they call it a dresser? Why don't they call it a bureau? They call it a vanity. Because what you did is you stood in front of that and played with your hairbrushes and your eye curlers, which in those days were different. Your hair curlers were things that they stuck down into the kerosene lamp run. That was hot air rollers in those days, right? But it was the same thing. You fussed in front of that oval mirror, right? Vanity, wanting to look good. Now, do any of us struggle with making decisions based on vanity? Probably. I want to look good. I don't want to look bad. But those decisions, basing it all on there, I was in the grocery store getting water bottles filled yesterday, and I noticed that Jen had liposuction, you know. And Brad Pitt's girlfriend, you know, they were advertising the diet that she went on because she was going to do a publicity thing, you know. So, and there's all these magazines when you're waiting there to check out. You can't do self-check when you refill gallons of water because I don't have the barcode. But, you know, and so I'm looking at these magazines with all this vanity stuff entangled with it. Well, here's one that I'm probably more familiar with than vanity. It's called Defending My Rights. Defending Your Rights. Write that down there. Defending Your Rights. Now, I'm going to write the last one down too while I'm kneeling here. Defending your rights. How many of you can think of illustrations where that person thought they were right, that person thought you were wrong, and you spent a great deal of time defending your rights? Anybody? Am I the only one that does that? I don't think so. I think that on a regular basis, many of us defend our rights. And that is another pattern of the flesh that will lead to death. And the last one I wrote down there is the word fear. Fear is a very real thing. In discipling men over the years, I've come to the belief that the fear of failure is one of the greatest inhibitors to men really genuinely experiencing life. They're afraid of failing, and they will make decisions based on their fears. I try not to do that, but that is a general tendency of my functioning, is to make decisions because I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Or when things go wrong, you know, when I'm clicking the buttons and the computer doesn't do what I want, I can't find the pages that I want, you know, I don't like failing. And I would much rather succeed. But oftentimes I will make decisions because I have a fear of failing. Now, others of you may have other ones. Let's try to talk about some of the positive things. All of those down there, the selfishness, the pride, the vanity, the defending your rights, the fear, those are all walking after the flesh, focus on the flesh, and they will lead to death. Well, what leads to life? Right up at the top of your diagram, write trust. And it's trust in God. You can trust God because He is love. Because He is good. Because He is love, because He is good, every choice you make, even if it's choices after the flesh, He will use it for good. He will use things in your life to build the relationship with you. So trusting God is a very important thing in the spiritual area, psychological, physical area. In my cancer battle, I emailed Bishop the other day that I'm putting all of my trust for healing in God. And I'm only relying on the medical community to help me in that. That makes sense? It's really easy in these battles to put your trust in the technicians, in the hospitals, in the care, in the drugs, in the patterns that they're doing. It's really easy to trust in the technicians and the patterns and not be trusting the divine healer. Does that make sense? The same way in our financial area. Trusting, I actually appreciate it when you do answer. I do like that. In the financial area, trusting God to help us in the midst of this financial crisis. You know, trusting God in the midst of the political chaos that seems to be all around me. It may not be chaos, it may just be my attitude, but you know, trusting God in the midst of these things, I make decisions based on trusting God, and that will lead to life. Not trusting myself, but trusting God. I also want to incorporate a pattern of thanking God. So put thank God in here. In every decision I make, I could make a decision to thank God for areas that are going on in my life. As Denise was saying, or no, it was you, it was reading that we can make choices to be thankful or choices not to be thankful, isn't it? We could make choices, and in those choices, thanking God for His goodness, His kindness, His provision will lead us on a path of life. And the last one that I wanted to put up there was to ask God. And that will complete our diagram. But these are foundational things that we could do in our lives that would cause us to live a life that is more life-y, life-ly. There's one of those words I made up, life-y. A life experience of being thankful. Now, in your questions, in your book, as I was reading through them again for the last time yesterday, I realized that what the authors are saying, that if you make decisions that are not thank-based, it could lead to depression in your life. And I've been struggling with depression over the last few months, and I thought, I wonder if that's true. I do think there's cases in people's lives where antidepressants are a good thing to do. I do find it amazing God lets us find these drugs and these therapies that we can do to stabilize some of the depths of depression that people experience. But I also know that when I make decisions to be thankful for who I am and what I have, rather than decisions to look at the way things are not the way I want them to be, when I make them thankful, I do have a better outlook. Now, I don't know whether that would work for everybody, because each one of us are unique and different, but I think that it would be a positive thing to be thankful. I think that it would be a positive thing to be trusting. And I think it's a really good thing to ask God about every decision you make. From which pair of black socks He wants to wear, to what he wants to eat, to actually talking to him about things before you do them. I wished I would have talked to him about which helmet to wear on the motorcycle this morning, because I wore my summer helmet. It's just a little nippy for a summer helmet. I think I'm going to go ahead and put it in the bag and wait till next summer before I wear that again. But see, I walked out to the motorcycle. I talked to him about riding the bike, and we both agreed it was a great idea, but I didn't talk to him about the helmet. Talked to him about what coat to wear. Didn't think about talking to him about the helmet. But if I would have, I'm sure that he would have responded, it's probably time with ears on it, Wilmer, and probably something with a windshield on it, Wilmer, because it's just a little nippy out there this morning. See, I could make decisions by asking God about the littlest details in life. And what you'll discover as you do that is it develops your relationship with God. God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to Him about the needs, problems, and questions you have in life. And He actually wants to respond to you in love and life and helping you with them. He didn't leave us alone. He sent His Holy Spirit to indwell within us so that we could have that dialogue.